All right, here we go. We're recording. Thanks again for coming out and doing this. Here we are sitting in the back of a building and Hurricane, is it Helen or Helena?
I think it's Helen.
Helen is threatening us with dire consequences. This is supposed to be the worst hurricane of the century or at least 200 years, something like that. But they always are.
I think they start saying it just to sell products, man. You know, to sell the water, sell the tissue, to get the stuff out the stores. Because you notice it happens every year. You go in the store, you wake up the next morning, the stores and shelves are empty, and you walk outside and ain't nothing but a couple of trees on the ground.
Right. A little bit of water up against right. the curve. Yeah. That does. It is a good I never put the two together. I thought that one happened, and then the stores would be empty because people were paranoid about the weather.
Right.
But possibly, I never thought about that. They could be in bed with each other. How interesting. How long have you lived in this area?
I've been down here since about my seventh grade year, so around 96, 97.
Okay. So you're familiar with hurricane season.
Yeah, we don't get it. It doesn't happen often, and it doesn't happen a lot, but yeah.
The scarier to me are those tornadoes that occasionally
and
come
see,
through.
Those normally hit in the Brier Guard area, and then remember they tore up Tuscaloosa a couple of years back. But I think we're pretty safe where we are.
Yeah, I can't think of one that's got anywhere close to us down here. It's like we're in a little bit of a valley or something.
Yeah, not here.
It's interesting. So, man, you said you've got at least two jobs. Is there more than that?
Well, I do Instacart on the side, so, and then I'm a single dad. Got my 15-year-old son who has his own brand. I thought I had it on, but I don't. Swag for Prez. I created his brand to pay his tuition. He goes to a private school. And when I say private school, a lot of people look at me like, why does your son go to a private school? He ended up at a private school because in the fifth grade, he was home alone. I would leave for work at 7 in the morning and not get back until 9 o'clock at night. So that means once I put him on the bus, once I get home, he's in the bed.
Right.
My just so happened I have friends and neighbors that helped out a lot. I don't know where to start. I was homeless. I struggled with my son, man. I struggled with him. So he ended up at a private school because of what I told you. I get home and he's in the bed. So he could play basketball really well.
Okay.
So that was the tool to get him where he needed to be. So I got a job in Phoenix City, Parks and Rec. Once I started working for Phoenix City Parks and Rec, I was trying to use the hardship to get him at a school closer since I was working in that city. But they no longer honored the hardship. So during that time, by him being able to play basketball, I just started sending his highlight films out to private schools.
Okay.
So he ended up at Calvary Christian. He did Calvary Christian, 6th grade, 7th grade, 8th grade. And then something transpired there, so we left and went to Glenwood. Which is in Phoenix City. That's where he is now, which is 18 minutes from home. I wish I had have taken him to Glenwood from the jump. So with that sixth grade year, he was able to play middle school ball because in Alabama, you can only play in the seventh grade. So he was able to play middle school ball his sixth grade year. So his sixth grade, he played middle school. His seventh grade, he played middle school and JV.
Okay.
His eighth grade, he played middle school, JV, and varsity all in the eighth grade.
Whoa. All at the same time?
Pretty much all this. Because, see, the middle school season, well, the JV season ended, no playoffs. Middle school season, playoffs. Varsity play on Fridays. So middle school was playing on either Tuesday or Wednesday. He was playing varsity on Fridays.
Okay.
So his final middle school game, he dropped 26. He had 26 points.
Nice.
Yeah, they ended up losing by, like, 6. I mean, it was too much. At that point in time, you're in the playoffs. But you're playing schools up north in Atlanta. They combining their teams. They're combining their 6th, 7th, and 8th grade teams.
Okay.
So where you only got 3-4 dogs, they got 7-8.
Right.
Because they don't combine everybody.
Right.
But, man, it was good. It was a good experience for him. He ended up playing up under the shot clock. Played, you know, made friends. It's pretty cool, man. And he loved it. Because he had an option to go back to public school this year. He said he didn't want to. And I love it. I love how small it is. I love the camaraderie. I love that when I get out of the car, parents know who I am. Teachers know who I am. When we go to the football games, as opposed to sitting all up in the stands, you can get your lunch here. If you can find your spot, you can sit almost on the field.
Right.
And I love it, man.
That's nice. I went to a private school from 5th through 12th.
Oh, wow. So where are you from?
Originally from California.
So how you end up here?
Well, Dad was in the Air Force, mm-hmm. so I kind of grew up all over the place. And wound up down in Gulfport, Mississippi for over a decade, and then did some contracting, and the wife and I decided to settle here.
Any kids?
Got three. One stayed there. She's got our only grandchild now. He's about to turn 4 tomorrow. And then I've got two here. Okay. One's out of the house, and we've got one still left.
Okay.
She's 19. So, yeah. Man, this Auburn's a great place. But I get the private school thing. I do. I was the opposite, though. Dad made me go to private mm-hmm. school because I was a bit of a troublemaker when I was young. And my mom was very, not really authoritarian, but she was really strict on us.
Right.
Couldn't go to the movies. Couldn't stay at friends' houses. They didn't go to our church.
Okay, now, what you saying that, do you understand why mom was like that? Now, as you look back, do you understand why she was like that?
I understand it. But at the same time, the results of that, I got a little bit wild when I left.
So do you believe that? Do you believe that kids that have the parents have the chokehold on them per se, they end up being wild once they get out of the house?
I saw a lot of it. Yeah. Yep. I think that you have to find a balance.
Right.
You know your children. You know where their curiosities are. You know where their propensities lie. You know how far they're willing to press rules and boundaries. And as long as you can give them just a little taste mm-hmm. of what's out there, just a little bit, in controlled environments, let them staunch that curiosity, then they won't go dive off into it when they have some freedom. That's, how do you feel about that?
Well, I'm 40, 41. I never drank the smoke, but I'm able to tell you why I never drank the smoke, because I saw so much growing up. You know, I tell everybody I had a cousin that stood about 6'7", and every time he would drink, he would beat his girlfriend. Mm-hmm. Every time he would drink, he would beat his girlfriend. Mom and dad was on drugs when I was growing up. My grandmama prayed and prayed and prayed. And by the time my mom and dad got off drugs, my grandma had passed away.
Your parents
yeah.
were on drugs.
Yeah,
okay.
So I ended up being raised by my grandmother. So a lot of things that I seen in life, I didn't want to go down that road because I didn't want to open that door. You know, seeing my cousin get shot 7-8 times, what if that's me? What if I start drinking and I become an alcoholic and I lose everything? Or I become an alcoholic and I lose my life? Or what if I try that weed and it's laced? Because I saw a lot of that also. So I steer clear of it.
Laced weed?
Yeah.
Yeah. With what did they lace it with?
I've seen with cocaine. You know, at one point they were doing embalming fluid.
I remember that. Wet.
Embalming fluid, yep.
Yep, I remember that. That came out of Texas, I believe, wasn't it? Okay. I've seen people put cocaine in weed. I kind of understand that. Mm-hmm. That doesn't scare me. I get it. Mm-hmm. I don't participate in it, but mm-hmm. once you start messing with embalming fluid, that's serious. That's serious. Well, that's good. I'm curious. I'm sure you've got friends who didn't choose to not travel the same path that their parents and their uncles and their friends did. What's different? What was going on in your brain that's not going on in theirs?
And see, that's what I don't know, because when you look at it, like right now when I tell people at 41 I don't drink or smoke, they equate it with having fun. Well, what do you do to have fun? So is that what was drilled in us to have fun growing up? This is the only way you can have fun,
right?
Is to drink, smoke, is this? But I never saw interest in it. Like when you're sitting in the car, now I done been around it. You're sitting in the car with my cousins and they all smoking weed, passing blunts all around, and I'm sitting in the middle of them. And I'm talking about, you talking about 13 and they 19, or 13 and they 20, and 13 and they 17. That's impressionable at that age. You know, you see your cousin them doing this and that.
Right.
It didn't faze me. I sat in the car with them, and when they got done smoking, I got out of the car and I went on by my business.
So you've been accidentally high before?
I don't know, because I've been around it. I can tell you I've been around it.
If you were sitting in
the
car.
Yeah, I sat in the car with them, sitting in the Nova. Do you remember the Nova?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it was like gray with the red seats, probably about an 85, 86 Nova. My other cousin had a yellow Monte Carlos with the swirl seats, the two those. So yeah, I done been around all of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you just chose, man, that's awesome. That's
just chose
awesome.
To go in a different direction, man. I don't know. When I talk to the kids at work about it, they don't believe me. But I've been in trouble. I got third degree theft of property when I was 20, about to turn 21 at Walmart. And I tell the kids all the time, what made me change was watching my grandmama cry. When I walked down the hall, my grandmama was sitting on the side of the bed. She said, I didn't raise them like that. And she was praying and crying. When I got through that, I never got in any more trouble. And that's why I tell the kids what I work at, you don't love your mama. Your mama love you. Your mama driving 5 or 6 hours to come see you. You keep getting in and out of trouble. If you love your mama like you say you love your mama, your grandmama, you wouldn't hurt them. The first time you saw them cry, it'd have been your last time making them cry.
Right. Right.
Like, I won't say where I work at, but I talked to a kid the other day, 15, murder charge. He said if the judge give him some time and he can't bear it, he's going to kill himself. I said, so you done made peace with it? He said, yeah. He said, I done made peace with it. I said, so if you could go back to that day before you did what you did, would you have done it? He said, no. He said, but society, rap music, movies don't tell us this part of the story. I said, but that's what we've been trying to tell y'all. He said, man, I saw my granddaddy cry. I said, when? He said, when the police surrounded our house and when they pulled up and dropped them guns. I said, they put the gun on everybody in the house and they didn't care who it was. He said, nope. He said, I mean, my grandmama get on the floor, then my granddaddy get on the floor, my granddaddy. He said, my granddaddy cried. I said, your granddaddy cried based on the stuff that you did. I said, you put your parents in that situation based on the decision that you made. And he said, yeah. He said, I got a little girl on the way. I said, so you got a child on the way that you may never see. He said, yeah. He said, man, I hate I did it. I wish I would have never done it. That's just one story.
Man. And you got to factor years old.
It hits you because my son 15.
Right.
I think the youngest we had was 11. Matter of fact, we got one of the 10s that came in.
Daggone. Right, man. The mentorhood, that might not be a good word to use, but from what I understand about Black culture in mm-hmm. general is there's a lot of influence from uncles.
Right.
Older brothers.
Right.
Dad may not be there. An and so you've got grandma, so you got, mom.
Yeah.
But those uncles are way older.
Right.
They're already following a mm-hmm. bad path. It sounds like it's really difficult for young children to find the way that you found.
Because now we are drawn to listen and identify people that look like us. And they look like the rappers. I'm not going to say us. They look like the rappers. Rap music has taken over society. Rap music has taken over. You look at I'm a Black man. You look at your average Black kid looks like a rapper. From the hairstyle, to the way he dressed, to the maybe the mannerism. A lot of them are gangs. The gang violence has taken over. So I don't know what we can do to try to pull our kids back. Like, when I talk to them, first thing they say to me, man, you ain't never been locked up. So by me saying I ain't never been locked up, now you feel like I can't relate to you.
Right.
But what if I've been in some situation that could have led me to getting locked up, but I made better decisions?
Right. That isn't valued.
No, you have to get your stripes in order for them to listen to you. That even when you talk about it, when they ask me what type of music I listen to, even when they say, man, you stay on this side of town, I do. I don't ever see you. Well, I'm going to tell you why you don't see me. I'm 41. Me and you don't even go to Walmart at the same time.
Right.
So you wouldn't see us. We wouldn't be in the same place. That's why when things start happening where you get an incident where a 22-year-old kill a 15-year-old, where's that 22 and that 15-year-old running into each other other than the streets? So now you got to ask yourself, what kind of lifestyle is this 15-year-old living that causes him to cross paths with this 22-year-old?
Right.
When you have this 15-year-old and this 13-year-old and both of them need to carry guns, what kind of lifestyle are you living where you feel you need to carry a gun? You 13.
Yeah.
Or you need to have $900 in your pocket. Why do you need $900 in your pocket? At 12 years old, your parents still should be taking care of you. And if your parents can't take care of you for any unforeseen circumstance, whatever happened to teaching kids to work? Kids don't work leaves no more. They don't pick up, they don't take out trash no more. They don't respect their elders no more.
Yeah. Yeah. where's that guidance going to come from?
It's hard when you don't have the male in the household. When you take the male out of the household, what's next up? Football coach? Okay, cool. I can run a football. I can jump high. But you're only going to see me for 2 hours. Right. I got to go back to this same environment when I leave you.
Yep.
Society has a stronger hold on our kids than we do.
That's true.
We can train our kids up in the way they should go. Once they walk out that door, it's up to them.
Right. Yep. And when he is old, he will not depart from it.
Or when you try to depart from it, God will sit you down and bring you back to it.
Well, if you do it at that point, you know.
Yeah.
You know what you're doing. You know what the consequences potentially are. And at least you're making an informed decision versus just blindly following down a path that you've been led down. Oh, goodness gracious. Well, I guess there's an opportunity. Before I say what I'm going to say, you mentioned that you've got a brand, or is it your son's brand?
It's my son's brand, but you know, he's not old enough to control it. He's only 15.
Okay.
So I'm 80%, and he's 20%. We started 4 years ago, and I was basically playing around. So you go back, I say 4 years ago, to say that puts him at 11. So he probably was 10. He got invited to a basketball camp. We went to the camp. I just playing around. I went to the store. I made some shirts, Swag for Prez. Swag is his nickname, which they gave to him when he was little based on the way I dressed him. Had the two earrings, the braids, the Jordans, you know, the Echo, whatever was hot at that time, that's what he wore.
Okay.
So the name Swag, it was Baby Swag. But once he turned 5, he took the baby off of it and just wanted to be called Swag.
Okay.
So then I just threw the 4 Prez in there on Instagram, just playing around Swag for Prez. Had my homeboy to make me three sweaters. I got on one, he got on one, his little brother has on one. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just wearing it. We get to the camp. He's in the 5th grade. I think he's in the 5th grade, 6th grade. Whatever grade he was in, they didn't have his grade. So he 5th grade playing with 8th graders.
Oh, okay.
So he scores about 6 points, but he's dribbling the ball. So they were like, man, who is that baby out there? Who that baby is out there? That Swag out there. So he scored about 6 or maybe 8 points. But he's the smaller thing out there, so you want to see what he's going to do. He passing the ball. He dribbling the ball. He doing everything. I'm walking out the door. People say, can I buy one of them shirts? Buy one of what shirt? Can I buy one of these? Okay, sure. I ain't have no price. So give me $40. Okay. So I go back to my same home. I go to Walmart. Go back to my same home. Well, hey, man, can you make me this right here? He make me 5 of them. I make about $200. I can start something. Guy named Charleston White that I follow on Facebook, who has now blown up. I would follow him on Facebook at that time, and he was talking about the textile industry, how you can get cotton for cheap and you can get this and that. So I wrote him on Facebook. He also worked with kids. Wrote him on Facebook. He responded back. I gave him $150 for a vendors list. The vendors list, it gives you 15 vendors. Once I got those 15 vendors, I then called my other homeboy who was in Texas. Hey, man, I want to start a business. He told me to go to, he sent me to one of those websites where you can start your business once they research your business name and make sure nobody has it.
Okay.
So I LLC'd it. I LLC'd the Swag for Prez because at that point in time, I didn't have enough money to make it, to copyright it. So I LLC'd it.
Okay.
But once I LLC'd it, that showed you that this year, 2020, this became an LLC. So anything after 2020 is considered his brand, his name, Swag for Prayers.
Okay.
So even though it wasn't copyrighted, you can look in the system and say, hey, he LLC this name. So it is copyrighted. It's his. So it took off from there. The very first 10 months, he made at least $7,000 in 10 months. So I was able to pay his tuition, and he was able to attend a John Lucas camp in Houston.
What is that, John Lucas?
Was the number one draft pick. Don't make me tell you what year. Don't make me lie to you. It might have been the 70s. Might have been the 80s.
Okay.
But he was on drugs. He was, tell you how nice he was. He was the number one NBA pick and the number one tennis player at the same time in the Whoa. Same year. But he got strung out on drugs real bad. So he runs a camp. And every year my son get an invite. And the camp is not much. It's only 150, but you got to fly out.
Right.
He was in Texas.
Okay.
So we flew out, and he loved, and he got an invite 3 years in a row. His first year he came there, he was ranked 380. His last year he came there, he was ranked number 3.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's got some potential then, doesn't he?
He right now, he's only, what, how tall is he? I think he's 5'9 and a half, averaged 14 points last year on varsity. The best game I've seen him have, well, I can't even say, because he had that Final Four game where he had 26, but he probably shot the ball 12 times. He didn't even shoot it the first quarter.
Wow.
So he had moments where he don't even shoot the ball.
Right.
But I remember his, I tell him all the time, I remember his, I say his best game, but it was two games I remember. I make it, he'd be able to tell you three. Because one game we playing rec league, he only had 5 players. He threw up on the floor. So you know what most kids do when they throw it, they want to go home. Right. No, Dad, I want to play. Put me back in.
Was it because he was nervous?
Somebody hit him in the stomach or something. But most of the time, okay, when they throw up, you know, the rule is, hey, your child's sick.
Yeah.
You got to go. Yeah. Dad, I want to play. After throwing up, score 8 straight point, team end up winning.
Nice. Okay?
Now let's go to the middle school game. Middle school game, team is down 12. He scores in the wrong basket. The coach called timeout. When the coach called timeout, he's standing in the huddle, but he got his back turned. I said, he finna wake up. They down 12. He gets that ball at that timeout. He hit 3 threes in a row. Now they down 9. He come down, he passed the ball to another player, he lays it up. Now they down 1. We come down, we get a stop. They call timeout. He set the pail up. They double team it. He passed it over to talk to his big man. He lays it up. They win the game by 1 point.
Ooh.
Against Quitman.
Ooh. That sounded like a fun game,
man,
to watch.
Man, we was in Quitman in Georgetown, over there in Georgia. It was, and he was crying. He like, when he scored in that wrong basket, he just started crying. So I looked at my homeboy next to me. I said, he finna wake up. Now when he wake up, he play ball. He had another game where he was playing at in Huffman High School. He was in the 6th grade. He playing ball. They down 15. Somebody hit him in the eye, and his eye swole. So the coach said, come here, talk to him. I said, Swag, man, what you going to do? I said, man, wake up. He did like, he looked at his eye. Come off the bench, 2 threes in a row. Now you're down 9. Charging foul, pass to the man in the corner, another 3. Now you're down 6. Come back down, steal. Now you're down 4. Come back down, foul, 2 free throws. Come back down, get another steal, lay the ball up, tie ball game, going into overtime. In overtime, up 2. Give me the ball. 4 free throws to seal the game.
Nice.
So he had those moments, man. But just as well as I can tell you the moments where he do that, I can tell you moments where he don't even shoot the ball. I can tell you moments where he don't pass the ball. I can tell you moments where you look at him like, what you doing? He said to me the other day, Daddy, do you remember when you jacked me up? Because he was 8 years old. But he was not playing. He wasn't doing what he was supposed to do. So I got him, I walked him, I picked him up, I jacked him up on the wall, just all the way above my head. Like what's on Lion King when he picked him up?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I had him up like that. When I put him down, 14 points. So it's a button in him that you have to click in order to get everything out in him out. If you don't click that button, he'll come out there and just do whatever. Because I don't think he's figured out how to click that button himself.
How to get in the zone, how to find that zone. Well, that man, that is pretty young. Does he do any other things besides play basketball?
He was nice in soccer, but he went away from the game for like 3 years, and I mess with him now. So he plays soccer for his school. I picking him all the time. I said, man, you suck. Well, it doesn't matter, Dad. I'm good in basketball. But he'll go out on the soccer team. He'll clap. He'll run around. He'll do whatever he can out on the soccer. But he knows it's not his best sport, so he don't put all his energy in it. But I like the fact that he's learning, okay, I'm the best player over here. But I'm not the best player over here, but I'm still learning how to support the team.
Yeah.
Yeah, he goes to practice on time. He clap on the bench. He do everything he's supposed to do. And he understand that, hey, I may not get in this game. You know, I may not get in. But guess what? When we go to the basketball, I may not come out. So, pretty good.
That's good. Sounds like you've built some character into
it. I love it, man. I got an 8-year-old who's ambidextrous. He can write with his left and right hand. He wants to be an astronaut. His lowest grade right now is a 92. Yeah. And he was playing basketball for a little while. He stopped playing. And he plays baseball and he plays soccer.
Okay. Surprised that you didn't say he plays chess.
He does play chess. He's actually just got invited to the gifted program. So he's taking French and playing chess. He's learning chess. My 15-year-old was taught chess by one of my homeboys who by the name of Daniel Gay opened up the Focus program, in which I want to tell you more about that. So both of my kids know how to play chess. I don't know how to play chess. I have never learned how to play.
Okay. You ever been interested in it?
Man, he tried to teach me, man, but all those different pieces move all those different ways,
yeah.
man.
Yeah,
so do. I ain't learned it.
I just coincidentally ordered a chess set last week. It showed up today that I want to sit down and start playing with my youngest daughter.
Oh, man, yeah. I'll bring my oldest. You can even do a podcast with him, man. I'll bring him down and y'all can set the chess table up right here, and yeah, I don't have no problem.
He'd probably spank me, man. It's been a few years since I played.
Oh, wow. Yeah, he learned how to play it, but maybe 2 or 3 years ago.
Okay. That's good. I hear that's a real good game for kids to learn because they learn strategy mm-hmm. and tactics and thinking 2 or 3 moves ahead of what they're doing right now. Well, that's good. Now, Focus program. Where are we at? One more time. Swag for Prez.
Yes. SWAGG, the number 4, PRES. You can find him on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, all his game films on YouTube. And he has a swagforprez.com. But I tell a lot of people, man, I put the .com up there, you know, maybe when the NIL deal take over, maybe when Nike or somebody say, hey, we'll help you. Okay, Nike, go ahead and take over. Put your sign on it. Have a way with this website and do what you do. Right. I don't get a lot of orders through the website. I get a lot of in-person orders.
Okay. And
we get a lot of orders at school, which is fine because at this point, you want to meet the kid that you support. You know, you just logging on social, swagforprez.com. You're reading, and you know, you're reading. But when you can hands-on meet the kid, you can hands-on see how mannerable the kid is, now you're more inclined to buy something.
Right. And be proud of it.
Yes.
Have a story behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's cool. That's intelligent marketing. Focus.
The Focus program?
Yes, sir.
And see, my homeboy poured all his you know how you when you want to do something, you got to go. So you will put your life savings in it because that's what you want to do.
Right.
So he went and got a building. Oh, man, I don't even know what side of Columbus it was on. But it was on a rough neighborhood side. And he got it off the ground, man. The mayor came down to speak, and he had it off the ground. But the stipulation was it was not a daycare, so the kids couldn't be left alone. It had to open at a certain time, had to close at a certain time because it wasn't a daycare.
Okay.
Parents had to also be there with their kids. That was the problem. How many parents you know are going to be there with their kids?
Well, not if they're going to drop them off at something like that.
I think his hours were like 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. or something of that nature.
Well, they're working then.
But parents had to be present.
Okay.
It had to be some parents on those adults. But those stipulations and those rules, he couldn't keep his numbers up.
Now, what is the Focus program?
The Focus program was, which was a nonprofit organization for at-risk youth. So he was teaching them chess, how to tie, had the video games in there. Had basically everything you needed was there. And in return, helping them with homework, feeding program. But in return, he gives you free training sessions for basketball. He's a basketball trainer.
Okay.
So you come in and say, hey, man, I need to put in 5 hours of, you need to put in 5 hours of study time. Now your 5 hours of study time pays for your 5 hours of basketball training.
Whoa. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. And so he did that. I want to say it ran for about 2 years, man. He was heartbroken when he had to let it go, but he couldn't keep the numbers flowing and numbers up for his program to be able to run. But I remember him telling me an incident that he had. This lady pulled up. She went inside to get her child. She left her car running. Her purse was in the car. She had a book bag in the car. Man, as I told you, it was a bad neighborhood.
Right.
The kid sees the book bag. He opens up her door. He grabs her book bag. When she's walking out of her car, out of the store, out of the business, she sees the kid in her car. She grabs a gun. The kid grabs his gun. The kid takes off running. So you go back. Now, this nonprofit organization, this Focus program was built to help at-risk youth.
Right.
The at-risk kid didn't respect the program enough to not break in this woman's car, not go through this woman's car, not respect the man that's inside the building trying to run the program.
Oh, it was a kid from the Focus program.
It was a kid that was in the neighborhood.
He didn't go to
the program. Yeah,
oh,
he was
no,
in the
it just happened there.
It just happened there.
Oh, no.
But we ask people to help these kids. You can look at that man's program, look at the stuff that that man has in his program and outside his program that tells you what type of program it is, maybe you should say, no, nah, man, I ain't going to do that. Whatever happened to the respect for the community to say, no, nah, man, I ain't going to do that. What did this woman have in her bag, or what did you have that you thought this woman had that you was going to take from her that was about to cost you your life?
Yeah. Very well could have, or hers.
Yes. Right in front of the poker program.
Did that affect the focus program itself?
Oh, yeah, I think it was right around closing time. And like I told you, his numbers were not up that high.
Right.
So it really was between him and, you know, the lady that it happened to, and maybe a couple more people, maybe a couple people he told that it happened.
Okay.
But once you put certain things on certain sides of town and people tell you a story like that, you're pretty much, what's the word I want to use? You used to it. When you being told, hey, man, they just robbed this Circle K store right here, and the Circle K store located in a bad neighborhood, some people just say, man, it was only a matter of time.
Yeah.
Yep.
How does something like the Focus Center get income, get revenue?
It was a 501(c). So nonprofit organization, and he also went out in the community and got a lot. He got a lot of help from the people in the community. Like, he did a shoe drive once and gave over 1,200 pairs of shoes away. Wow. He did a shoe drive in one day and gave over 1,200 pairs of shoes away. So he was doing everything that he could possibly do for the community. But when you're doing stuff like that, you got to have backing from people in your community also.
Right, right. What is he doing now? Is he still involved now, in something?
He retired. He retired around COVID time happened. You know, he still do training, and he has a wife and four kids. I would love to get him down for your podcast. He has a wife and four girls. Four girls or three girls? I think he has four girls.
Okay.
Yeah, he's going to Egypt. He think he leave out for Egypt either tonight or tomorrow. Yeah, he's leaving to go to Egypt.
On vacation?
Yeah, him and his wife.
Whoa.
Yeah, man, you can find him on Facebook up under Daniel Gay. And once you go to Daniel Gay, that's G-A-Y, you can find the focus program there.
Okay.
And you can follow the focus program. So right now, the focus program is just at a standstill because, I mean, he don't have a building or anything right now.
He's still interested in doing it, though.
Yeah, and he does a little substitution. You know, he sub at schools from here and there.
Okay. How old is he?
I'm 41, so Danny should be 39.
Oh, he's still a young guy then. Mm-hmm. Huh. Okay. So he's still got a lot of potential future love.
I met him when he came to the gym one day and introduced himself. And I told him, I said, man, that's my son. He swag. He can play ball. He was like, you can play ball? Man, you can't play no ball. Show me you can play ball. He gave him the ball and he started dribbling. Shot a couple mid-range jump shots. He was like, man, that kid good. I said, I told you. And shoot, we 7 years later now, we've been friends ever since.
That's cool.
Yep.
That's cool. So do you follow... Are you following what's going on in the news with Sean Combs?
Okay.
I'm kind of trying to segue over into what you brought to talk about.
Now, like I tell people all the time with the Sean Combs situation. With the Sean Combs situation. What does the Bible say about gaining the world and losing your soul?
Right. What does it profit a man?
To gain the world and lose his soul. You get some of these men, they get so much money that they think they is God. They think they're untouchable. They think they can do whatever they want to do. So you take that man and the mindset of these women that are out here that are willing to do whatever for the money, and then you put those type of people together. Or you get the people that want the fame and they're willing to do anything for the fame, including sell their kids. Send their kids to Michael Jackson's house. Send their kids to P. Diddy's house. Send their kids to R. Kelly's house. Usher, Justin Bieber, those kids were sent to that man's house. They didn't go to that man's house for him to babysit them. We got kids. I got a 15-year-old. My 15-year-old, I can't tell you, he don't go to nobody's house to spend the night. I can't tell you the number of times, who house he done went to spend the night. He don't go. But do you think I'm going to allow him to go, hey, man, set, want your son to come on and spend the night? I grew up in an era where you ask questions. Who the mama?
My parents did, too.
They asked them questions.
Yeah, yep.
And when you breaking down that family tree, oh, no, that's such and such. Uh-uh. My child ain't going, hey, boy, you ain't going there. Don't you ask no more. And that's the end of it. And you didn't ask no more.
Right, right. Me too. Same way.
But we've now went away from that because I think I asked somebody about it. Even when it comes to dating, I said, do you go down that family tree of the person you date? I had a couple people tell me why. What do you mean why? I tell people all the time, when y'all breeding a pit bull, you want to know the bloodline.
Right.
They won't buy a pit bull from you if they don't know the bloodline. But you got people out here making children, they don't know the bloodline.
Good point.
Did you know that man was a schizophrenic? Did you know that man? Did you know that man, grandma and grand? You gotta be asking these questions.
Yep.
Cause I got a kid right now that I say two parents should have never made a child. That child is hell on wheels. That child has been in and out of trouble since 8 years old and is 17 now, and probably on the way to prison.
All right, so you're familiar with the Bible,
mm-hmm.
and you're familiar with the concept that men are naturally evil.
Mm-hmm.
But folks out there think that we're born good and we become evil. I kind of wanted to jump from that into, do you think that there are kids out there who are raised evil or never taught good and are inescapably just vile and wicked, like there's no way for them to come back?
Well, you got to think about it now. Kids are born innocent.
Right.
So kids are born innocent. Their environment, which is how old, situation that they're born into, it turns them evil. Whether it be mama, daddy, uncle, cousin, it turns them evil. Like Jeffrey Dahmer. Do you think he was born that way?
No, he was abused as a child.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yep, there you go.
Yeah, you'd have to blame that one on his parents. Mm-hmm. Gacy, I think, was the same way. He had a very overbearing mother, no dad.
Mm-hmm.
That dude was a mess. So some of the youth that you come in contact with that have been bad their whole life, and they're on their way maybe to the prison system, and once they've got 10 or 12 years behind bars under their belt, do you think there's really any way for them to come back and be normal again?
Now, me and my homeboy, we joke about this all the time. Yeah, it is, but you got to sit them down. Because, see, when you first get in that prison, now if you notice when them kids first get in, 17 to 28, it's fun and games. They post it on social media. They twisting their finger up. By the time they hit 32, they want to go find Allah. They want to go find Jesus. They want to go find somebody. They want to go sit down. Now they want to get out. Now they want freedom. Now they want to talk to everybody with some sense. So it's a possibility for you to change and be rehabilitated, but it takes time.
You got to get through them terrible 20s.
You got to get through them, man. Yeah.
What is it about prison that seems to attract young men?
Well, you got to think about it. Like, if I look back at my household, if I look up at my life, my dad went to prison. My uncle went to prison. My aunt went to prison. My older brother in prison. Five black men that I know that's in prison. So if I'm 3 years old and you go to prison for 2 years and you come back and you bragging about the stuff that went on in prison.
Mm-hmm.
Or you bragging about whooping this person in prison, beating that person in prison. I see how you got 4 or 5 women when you get out of prison. I see you got this party. I see somebody done gave you a car. Somebody gave you some clothes. Everybody flocking to you. What I want to say when I get 12,
I'm going to prison.
I'm going to prison.
Yep.
So when I get out, I can have all this. But I don't know that this man that works on this street over from me, who ain't never been to prison, with the 850 credit score, the wife, the kids, the nice car, ain't never sold no dope. I don't see him.
Right.
I see that man right here that's in his house.
Because he's staying away from the type of people who are going in and out of prison.
There you go. So I want to be this man. I want to be this man right here. I want to be this man right here with these 3-4 gold chains on, with all these homeboys coming through the house, all these different women. I want to be that man. He got a wad of money in his pocket.
It sounds like there's no way out of it for some folks.
It's not. Some people got to go through hell to get to heaven.
Mm-mm-mm. What kind of, for young kids that are, that you work with, what type of programs are available for them to sort of maybe teach them the error of their ways?
I got to shake my head, man, because I don't work. One job is not in the city that I stay in. And the other job is where I work with the at a group home. So I work at a group home. And we have a lot of programs for them. They do a lot of stuff in the community. But I think we get them so old that they're already set in their ways and their minds already made up.
Old at 13, 14, 15?
By ninth grade. I believe you should get a kid by second, third grade where you still can mold their mind and their mind is impressionable.
I can't argue with that.
By the time you come to me at 15, I'm just another man trying to tell you right from wrong.
And disagreeing with all the things that you probably already
heard. That
you
think is right or wrong.
Right.
Like I tell my kids at my other job, it's four coaches in there. It's four of us. Well, you're going to walk in and you're going to have four black men. Two married, one single father, another one looking to be married, kids raised, running, and he does rental property. He's retired. He played in it. He went to, got invited to an NBA draft. Then you take the other one, which is my supervisor, who's been married, I think, 30 years, played overseas basketball, just bought a house 3 years ago. Take the other one, who's raising a daughter that's not biological, he is, from a previous relationship that he brought her in, so she's not his or his wife's. He's also helping his wife raise their two kids along with her stepson, along with her son. Then you got me, who's a 41-year-old single dad, got custody of my son at 26. Where will you walk in there and you see them many men? I tell the kids all the time, for you to walk in and see these many men, sit down and talk to us. Gain all you can gain from us before you go back out that door.
Yeah.
Ask me, do they do it?
Mm-mm.
No. They don't.
You don't have 3-4 women and go date.
I gotta have it. I gotta be driving the fancy cars and all the women and yeah. Then they would listen to me.
Man, that's tough. That is tough. It's frustrating as a white man. I don't feel like there's really anything I can do. I can't even really go into the parts of town that you can go to. Maybe I could, but you'd be looked at
like you the police. That's the police. What the police doing over here?
It'd probably be the same way if somebody from that side of town walked through my neighborhood. Yeah. There's just suspicion and what's this guy doing here? So it's frustrating. The only thing I can do with these type of conversations is play these little thought experiments in my mind and hope that there's somebody out there who's thinking of a way to fix things. But then it's frustrating because it doesn't sound like there is. That's got to come from inside the community.
The only way you can fix these things, you have to put the black man back in the home. And when I say the black man, I'm not meaning the man that's just having sex with the mom.
Right.
We meaning the black man that's going to come in and is going to put his foot down. And that child going to have to learn some respect, some discipline. The man going to have to know how to lead. The woman going to have to allow him to lead, whether it's his biological child or not. But when you go look at our women are being told not to listen to a man. And if our woman makes more than that man, she's definitely not going to listen to that man.
Where's that coming from?
Social media, society.
Don't listen to men.
If you're not making X amount of money.
Oh, okay.
You got that, along with a lot of our women say they don't need a man. I don't need no man for nothing. I don't need no man. And a lot of that is going on now. I've seen women that are okay with making several kids, and they say, I don't need no man to make no child. And they make a child, and they are okay, fine, and content with raising their child by themselves. Yeah, see, you baffled over there by what I'm saying because you didn't know things like that existed.
I was about to ask you a minute ago what it was that I was going to use the word drives black men out of the what should be their household.
Oh, respect. It's impossible to be in a house where you're not being respected.
So it is the women that, wow.
But when you're when the woman has never taught how to properly love a man, treat a man, she don't know.
And that's coming from her parents.
Yes, she don't know. And when she didn't see a man, when she never seen a man love her mama, how she know what love is?
Right.
And some women, you know, if that man come in like me, I'm 40. I was talking to one. Her child called her by her first name. She thought it was okay.
Oof.
I got a problem with it.
Me too.
So now who got to go? I got to go.
Yeah.
She's not going to fix that child calling her by her first name. She'd rather tell me to go. So guess who had to leave? You got to go. This is my child.
Mm-hmm.
But your child not respecting you. Who says my child don't respect me because they call me by my first name? Well, if you go to your job and your boss name is Billy Jones, I guarantee you're not calling him Billy. You're referring to him as Mr. Jones.
Right.
So why is it okay for you to go to work and call your boss Mr. Jones, but come home, your child can call you Shirley, Sarah, anything other than mama?
Right.
If that's the case, guess what your child feel like? Y'all even. Yep. So when that child get older and start treating you like y'all even, you created that.
Y'all buddies.
Come on.
We're best friends.
I tell parents all the time, them children gonna grow up and get bigger than you. You better put their respect and their fear in them right now because they're gonna grow up and be bigger than you.
Yeah, I learned that. My son's he's about 4 inches taller than I am. And he's going to the gym a lot, so he's got forearms. Yeah,
but get what he'll say. I taught him early. I'm gonna be with my dad.
He's a good kid. He's growing up to be a good man. But yeah, if I would have made that mistake when I was young, I'd be in trouble now because he's bigger than me for sure.
There you go. Yep, I had a friend telling me that one guy he cuts the guy hair. See, the guy called his dad everything in the book. So one day he got mad with his dad and threw his dad out of the house.
Oh.
Now, I ain't talking about threw him. I'm talking about picked him up and threw him out of the house.
And did dad stay gone?
The dad, the wife, and the son are still in the house, but you know who run the house.
Son does now. Yep. That's the law of the jungle, man. That's the pecking order.
But, okay, let's talk about the law of the jungle. Let's talk about the animal kingdom. I say all the time, everything in the animal kingdom does what they're supposed to do, except for human beings. The lion knows when to send their cub to hunt. The bird knows when to push their baby out the nest. The mothers don't know when to send their son off to go be a man.
They can't.
They can't. And if you came in that house and tried to tell her to make him leave, hey, listen, he's 25, he need a job, and he need to get out. You'll get out before he will.
Yep. They can't do
my
it.
My baby ain't got to go nowhere.
Mm-mm. I've seen it so many times. Mothers just can't kick the kids out the nest. They can't. That's dad's responsibility.
Yes. And so once you take dad out of the house, you see how it's broken?
Yeah, you've broken the maturation dynamic. You've broken the family dynamic, of course. And there's a lot of people who are saying that in different areas, psychology, sociology. There's people who are starting in the popular media to talk about the nuclear mm-hmm. family again, mm-hmm. that's caused some issues when we broke up the nuclear family. It's coming back around into popular awareness, at least on the more so on the fringes, but more or less fringe people are talking about it now. I'm glad to see it. I've been hearing about it since I was, I don't know, in my 20s, so mm-hmm. close to 30 years now, and we're starting to open our eyes to it, at least in some circles.
Right.
Goodness gracious. How did you find your way through all that potential to not have found your way?
Well, I always said growing up that I was going to be better than my father, even though I didn't know what a father was, because I can't be better than what I never had. I only can be what I know I wanted.
Okay.
So once my son got here, I'm going to be something.
Was it him coming that kind of stood you up and got you going?
Well, I went through a custody battle and it was a lot. And I told my grandmama, because I was going through it, man. I said, I'm walking out that child life. I'm walking out that baby life. I don't want to be no dad. I'm walking out here life. Grandma said, you walk out that baby life, you can get out my house.
Oof.
And she said it just like that. And she looked at me and said, you can get out my house.
Okay.
So where am I going to go if I get out my grandmama's house? So I better go raid that baby or at least die trying.
All right. So
I ended up, long story short, I got custody of him. Then once I got custody of him in November, my grandmama passed away in May. I got my dates on my arm. I got custody of him in February. Grandmama passed away in May. So I say all the time, because you'll never have everything you love at one time. You got to lose something to win something. You never have everything at once. God took my grandmama, but he gave me my son. I couldn't have both of them. So he already knew what he was doing. I'm going to give you this son, but I'm going to go ahead and take your grandmama. Grandma done enough. She done raised you. She done raised your cousin. She done raised the kids. She done enough. It's time for grandma to go home. But now it's time for you to stand on everything grandma done taught you. So he gave me my son. Now here I am with a son. I ain't never been no father before. And it's just me and him. But I know I wanted to be better than what I didn't have.
What age were you?
26.
And how old was he?
8 months.
Oh, boy.
He was 8 months when I got him. His birthday had just passed. Grandmama died in February, so he turned. Grandmama died in February, so he was a little bit over one when she passed.
So you were starting pretty much from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Milk, diapers, mm-hmm. spoon feeding the baby food.
Mm-hmm. But I had to figure all that. I had a community of women. I grew up in public housing, the projects. A community of women that helped me. And then when I got my place to stay, I'm going to tell you what happened on that. I went to church. So when I was in church, there was a black guy with a bald head sitting on the front row. I leave out of church. I go around one of my homeboy houses. I say, hey, man, I need a place to stay. He said, talk to that guy right there. The same black guy with the bald head that was sitting on the front row at church.
Okay.
I go up to him. I say, hey, man, I need a place to stay, man. It's just me and my son. He said, man, did I just see you in church? And keep before then, man, I ain't went to church in about a year now. I said, yes, sir, you just saw me in church. He said, fill out the paper. So I filled out the paper. But before my grandmama passed, I had went over there once before and filled out that paper. But I had some on my credit. By that time, I had paid it off. So the first time I got rejected.
Oh, gotcha.
First time I got rejected. So when I went over there that time, I got approved. He said, but you can't move in until October. So that time it probably, he thought I can move in November. It was May then. So now I got to find somewhere to go.
Right.
So then when November rolled around, I still can move in October. Just so happened, I stayed with one of my homeboys. I slept on his sofa. I working at Targets. I was making, I probably making $390 a week. I would try to give him $100, he'd give it back. Try to give him $100, he'll give it back. My son was in daycare. This is how I feel about daycare. I don't know how other people feel. If I'm off, my child ain't going.
Yeah.
So guess what? The daycare people said. Because there were times where he would get dropped off at the daycare at 8 o'clock. I get out of work at 12 noon. I go get him. Or my aunt, I drop him off at 8. My aunt get off at 9. He was never at the daycare.
Okay.
Just give me $50 this week. Just give me $40 that week. He was never there. If I'm off, he's not going.
Right.
Then I believe if you owe somebody, pay him. So at the end of his daycare time, when it was coming to an end, I owe like $50. Now, did I have to pay him? What most people would have done, I ain't paying them, folks. My child ain't going back to no daycare no more. I ain't paying them.
Yeah.
I paid them their $50. Okay. Why? Because they had been looking out for me.
Right.
They had been helping me. I paid them their $50. I moved into my place. Right when I moved into my place, I got a job in Columbus at West Central. Now I got to leave my house at 4 o'clock in the morning to get there by 6 o'clock in the morning because it's 5 o'clock in the morning over there.
You were still living in Opelika? Okay.
But now I'm a single dad getting up at 4 in the morning trying to find somewhere to take my son.
Right.
At 4 in the morning. Yeah. Nobody up at 4 in the morning. This lady I met, she said, it's cool. Bring him over. So I would get him to her house around 4:30 in the morning. She would take care of him. And when I get off, I would pick him up. And when I say I had a team. And they did that. Those people helped me for at least 2 years. Then when he got to first grade, pre-K. He got to pre-K. My neighbor down the street helped me. I would go down there, knock on her door. She would let him go in and lay on her sofa because she would lay unlock the door for him. He would go in and sleep on their sofa. They would put him on the pre-K bus. When I get home, get him off the pre-K bus. Then now he's kindergarten. Same thing. Neighbor had a key under her door, under her mat. He would go over to get the key under the mat. He unlocked the door. He'll go in her house. He'll lay on her sofa. They put him on the bus. I did that for 2 years. So I had a team of people that helped me. So guess what? When I got the income tax check, guess what I said? Here go you $100. Here go you $100. Here go you $100. Thank you.
Awesome. Were these people that you just met in your community? Did you meet them through church, friends of friends?
Facebook friend with one. That's the one that you get him at 4 in the morning. Other one stayed across the street. Other one stayed on the corner that I graduated with. So the one I graduated with was the pre-K one. The one that I met on social media, that's the one that used to keep him before he got the pre-K. And then the kindergarten was the one that moved in my neighborhood that used to help me watch him because her daughter and him was in the same class. And then I had a friend, a homeboy, who ended up moving right next door. So I'm in 403, he's in 402. So once he got in 402, I gave him a key. Hey, man, get swag off the bus. So he helped me for about a good 2 or 3 years. So, man, that team helped me out, man. That community helped me out.
I hear that. And it's neat that you call them a team, too. Yes. You thought of them like that. Yeah, this is my team.
And I posted on Facebook one day, tagging everybody that had helped me. Just saying thank you, man, because I don't know where I would have been without him.
Yeah. Yeah. I could see things being a whole lot different if you didn't yes. have that support.
Yes.
That's a positive thing to hear. I almost want to stay there and talk about positive things, but I have to ask this one. You told me about CPS when we talked last time, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And how kids were going through that system and maybe didn't wind up in the best place. Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk about that some more?
Well, do you mean the loophole that they have that they use to get the adjudicated teens what we call a placement, where you can take this kid who's been taken from his home, but he can't go to DYS because they can't find a place for him quick enough. Or he can't go to DHR because he can't find a place quick enough, so they end up in DYS. Or are you referring to the kids who right now, who are troubled kids, but I can't pick up the phone and call the police and say, hey, come and get him. He finna go down the wrong road. And nothing the police can do. But guess what? When that same kid punched me in my mouth, guess what the police can do? They can take him somewhere then. So we try to be proactive by calling you saying, hey, this kid, get him out of my house. Ain't nothing we can do. Until he kills somebody in their house, what do we have? We don't have nothing. Like where I work, we used to be able to bring the kids in, walk them down the hall, right? Say, beat on the door, scare them, do this, do that. Ask me, can we do it now?
No, you probably have to be real nice. Please, sir, may I approach you?
Kids can't even come down there no more.
Oh, really?
Can't even come anymore. So now what preventative measures do we have? I can't whoop my son.
Oh, we've lost that privilege a long time ago. That would fix a lot of problems. But, okay, aside from that, they've taken that away. What else can you do? Put him in the corner and talk rudely to him?
Come on. And but you can't even do that.
Oh, because that's verbal abuse. I forgot about that one.
The field I work in, the kid can tell me right now, you black, bald head, mother, this, that. Let me turn and say something back.
Right.
You can clock out and go home.
So you have no power. They have all the power. And we just talked about what happens when you give kids the power.
Come on, man.
Now they're out in society with no parents, no leadership, and they have the power still.
Or at least they feel like they do, too. They run across one of them police officers, and they don't want to listen to.
But they can, even in that situation, at least I've seen a lot of, you know, clips on the internet, as long as they don't get physical with them, they can say whatever they want to.
Oh, yeah, they very disrespectful. I done had several police who pulled me over, and once they find out where I work, you can have a nice day, man. I couldn't have your job.
Mm. You ever thought about going into law enforcement?
I can find out where I am. I won't even be a correctional officer. And that's at the level that I am now, where I'm a coach. I wouldn't be a correctional officer. And I done broke up fights. I done this and that. And they asked me, hey, come on, man. We need help here. I'm good. I'm fine. Because I'm not obligated to break up that fight. But guess what? 30 seconds is a long time when you're on the bottom.
Yeah, it sure is.
So human nature to say, hey, man, get off on it. Hey, man, let me grab that kid. Let me break that up. I'm not obligated to break it up. But then again, when you're in a field that's 80%, 90% women, who going to break it up?
Mm. Yeah.
Your correctional field is saturated with women.
Really?
Nothing against women, but we got a kid right now that's 6'4", 215. 15 years old.
It'd be hard for somebody our size to handle somebody like that.
Big kid, man. That kid is a walking D1 athlete, man.
Really? Or he just is that size?
Play middle linebacker.
Oh, man.
Mostly out of trouble.
What did he do to get in this time?
Possession of a firearm.
And how old is he?
15. Walking down the street looking suspicious. All I gotta do is say you look suspicious. You walking with a hoodie on, a book bag, 11 o'clock at night, where kids are constantly breaking in people's cars. I'm gonna call the police and say, hey, I see the kid looking suspicious over here.
Well, so if he's got a hoodie on, you just about to report an adult looking suspicious. Somebody that size.
11 o'clock at night.
What are they? Oh, I guess they've got nothing to do at home.
You should be asleep by that time.
Yeah. Yep.
But they call it striking, where they walk around and breaking people's cars.
Striking?
Yeah, that's what they call it. They call it striking now.
What are they taking?
Whatever is in there.
Because remember when we were young, radios?
Radios, yeah.
They don't have those radios anymore.
You're taking whatever you can find in there now.
Just targets of opportunity.
There you go. Or they take the car. That's why I drive a Honda Accord. You ain't finna walk by my Honda and say, oh, I want to steal this today. But the Dodge Challenger, the Chargers, the Hellcats, they stealing those. I tell my son, man, we don't need nothing that's going to draw no attention. Yeah. When you leave and go off to college, get your Honda, man. Don't drive now one of these cars that you can't park in no garage or you can't park behind no gated fence. Don't do all that, man. It draw too much attention. And you young.
Yeah.
So when you young, you tend to hang out in places that young people hang out in.
True.
So don't do that. Or are you dating the type of young lady who want to go over there to their place, and now wherever she wants you to take her to, these dudes looking at your car. Because you remember around the time when everybody had rims on their car?
Yeah, yeah.
Rims in the speakers.
Man, I remember those days. I'd hate to leave my car anywhere. And I'd always have... I never really had nice cars, man. Everything I had was at least 20 years old. But I took care of it. I mean, right. It was mine.
It was
I
yours.
Bought it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I always have a stereo, a little amplifier, mm-hmm. some speakers in there, and the paint would always be worn out on
right,
top
right,
of
right.
it. Like, I never had anything nice, man, but I would always be paranoid to leave it at the mall
right.
because I didn't want somebody to take that little bit
that you had.
That I had.
Yeah. And people was taking a little bit that you had, man. Yeah.
These days I look at that and I'm like, man, I understand more. What's in that car is not worth the black spot on your soul.
Right.
that it's gonna that you're not gonna know about it till decades mm-hmm. later, about that debt that you're gonna carry mm-hmm. around with you. But yeah, it's not. I guess you. Well, I didn't see it when I was good until I got out of high school.
Right.
Once I had my own job and I was making my own money, I got a little bit wild. Never broke into people's cars or did any like petty stuff like that. I preferred my illegal endeavors to be more sophisticated.
Right.
I'll just leave it at that. But that was a very fortunately short period, and somehow just managed by the grace of God to
get through it, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm not perfect, and I'm not sitting here pointing fingers and trying to act like I'm a holier than thou. I've been there.
But what I got to tell the kids, we all have made our mistakes, man. You learn from them.
Yeah.
That's the simple. Sometimes you don't even have to make your own mistake to learn from them. You can learn from others.
That's the smart thing to do.
But we're in a time now where it seems like certain mistakes are cool.
Winding up in jail, doing a fiver. What do they call 5 years? Is there a cool name for it now?
No, not yet. Not yet. They just going in. Yeah, I ain't heard no cool terms yet in the field that I'm in. But they're okay with going. Like, I had one to tell me. He robbed a store twice with the BB gun. Ain't something wrong with him. I said, man, you sure you ready to go? I'm going to tell you how silly he looked. They called him the milkman. So you can imagine how he looked. He looked fat, little chubby, little something, little piece of hair out here. He brought the same store twice. But he said he's ready to go because his uncle there, his cousin there, and his dad there. So he's ready to go. And he's supposed to leave, I think, in the next 2 or 3 months. But he said once he's probably going to only do 3 or 4 months in prison.
Okay.
And then they're going to send him to a mental group home. So he won't do his 4 or 5 years in prison.
Okay.
Because they know he's incompetent. So he'll go to a group home.
Do you suspect that there's a lot of mental inadequacies or like people who have some mental problems that wind up being repeat criminals or early criminals?
But okay, let's go back when we say the mental illness, because sometimes it's not even mental illness, it's behavior that was never controlled as a child. Then now you want to grow up and say it's a mental illness because everybody pulling the mental illness card now. So that kid that got up and said Sunday morning, I'm going to shoot this school up Monday. Was that a mental illness or was it a decision that he made to go shoot that school up Monday?
I would say that was what's it called?
Because they used to say premeditated murder.
Premeditated.
But now you don't hear the word premeditated no more. When last time have you heard premeditated murder?
Good question.
You hear mental illness.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, is a scapegoat, which is a cop-out. Because we tend to put the mental illness tag where we want to put it.
Okay. I'm hearing then that you spend enough time with these individuals that you're fairly sure that they're just fine mentally for the most part.
A lot of this stuff is a learned behavior. Like right now, they have the kids get where they... I wish I could show you some of the stuff that they do. So we're going to say we got 70 kids. We're going to say we got 70, and we're going to say 50 of them black. Out of the 50 black, we're going to say 30 does this thing where they're standing in front of each other, and they punching at each other. Then they fall down on one knee and get back up and do all this swinging around, then get back up and do it again. All the boys are now doing it. Man, what is this? They say that's how they fight now. So you fighting somebody, you drop down on one knee, or they'll turn their back like this. Now, when have you ever been fighting somebody and turn your back on them with both hands up and then turn back around and start back swinging? That's what the kids are doing now. That's all what you don't see somebody else do. You are now doing it. So every time we come in, man, stop that, man. Stop all that horse playing. Stop that. Stop that. You doing what he doing. You doing what he doing. You doing what he doing. Even pulling the water fountain out the wall. You seen somebody else do it, so now you pull the water fountain out the wall. So now, are you really crazy? Are you mental? Or are you just doing what you see everybody else do?
Learned behavior.
And a lot of time in society, what are most of our kids doing? What they see everybody else do? Look at right now. Why has 20 kids in Alabama been arrested for terroristic threats on the school?
This just happened recently, lately, hasn't it?
I think it's at 20 right now. Oh, it's at 20 right now.
Goodness gracious.
Carver over in Columbus just had a kid pull up at the school, hold a gun, take a picture, post it on social media. He got arrested.
This is the cool thing to do right now, then.
I guess so.
I saw a statistic just a couple weeks ago that only like 3% of, now this is specific to bomb threats, only like 97% of bomb threats come from outside the country. 3% come from inside. But these things around here over in Georgia and stuff like that locally, those are definitely happening around here.
Right. Right.
So I guess this is going to be the next fad for the next 4 years.
I guess so. But do you give that kid who you say has an undeveloped mind, who's 8th grade, say he's going to shoot the school up, and you say, man, he just talking. He got an undeveloped mind. He did see that. We're going to let him go home. And at 16, he shoot the school up.
That, man, that's something that we have to fight through as a society, because after Columbine happened and after
when they shot them babies at,
we were like, we have to be hard on these school shooters. We can have take people's guns away, put armed security guards up, put fences up, make these schools look like prisons. We got to protect our kids.
Right.
So once we get to the point where these same kids that were in school then, growing up through that stuff, are doing the same thing, what are we going to do? Are we going to protect the kids that they're threatening? And we're going to come down hard on, man, we'll have to see. I think that's a horrible thing. Probably one of the most horrible things, aside from actually shooting somebody's grandma or raping a baby. Like, the worst threat that you could make to me is threatening children like that. I think that's worse than crying fire in a crowded theater. But do you write a law that even threatening something like that is as bad as actually doing it?
Yeah, you do. But like with anything, laws still come with limitations. It still come with the discretion of the judge. So what do you say? It's 5 years now for a terrorist threat. The kid was only 11. He didn't know.
Mm.
He just got the phone and he just said, I'm gonna shoot the school up and hung it up. But then that same kid had access to his daddy fire on.
Right. Right. Now let me ask you this, because I have no idea. Is there any racial disparity to kids threatening to shoot these schools? Or not disparity, but like, is it? I've never heard of a black kid shooting a school up. It's always been white kids.
A black kid hasn't shot in school up. But when you look at some of your threats, it comes from black kids. But a lot of our kids don't know how to properly articulate themselves. They don't know how to properly communicate. Because I remember growing up and making a kid mad in the classroom. He said, I blow them up. He'll say, I blow it up in his desk and fold their arms.
Yeah.
You can't say that now.
No.
Now if that kid turns and says, I blow it up, he may not have meant he was going to blow it up. But he got to be treated like he said he was going to blow it up.
Could you get in fights in school when you were young?
Oh, did I get to fight? I'll never forget. My 8th grade year, I got 72 detentions. And I got into, I'm talking about my set, them 72 detention, that was in 8th grade. That was in Opelika. Lafayette, I used to have to fight to get on the bus every day because of, you know, I told you my mom was on drugs and my dad, so people picked at me, so I had to fight.
Everybody knew.
Yeah, it's a smaller city, man. Everybody know. I could be on the bus, and guess who walking up the street?
Oh, no.
My mama.
Oh, no.
That goes your main mama. So what you think? Oh, man, look, now I got to fight. Yes, I had to fight. My very last fight was on, I'll never forget, the day the Twin Towers fell. The day the Twin Towers fell was my very last fight in high school. So I'll never forget that. Jeez. And then I grew up in public housing. So get what?
More fighting.
You got to fight. I just moved over here. Who is this?
Yeah.
So I had to fight.
You couldn't, in public housing then, you can't really make friends. You've got to fight your way.
You got to fight your way into. You have to fight your way into getting those friends.
Yeah.
So when I left one public housing, I went across town to another. I got to fight over there too. Then when they hear you're not from here, get what? You got to fight again.
Yeah.
So now I'm left their projects and gained my respect. Now I'm going to the other project and gained my respect. But get what? I'm in the seventh grade now. Oh, who it at? Where you from? I got to fight again. So by the time you hit ninth grade, now everything been solidified. Everybody know who you is. But during those middle school times, you gotta earn your stripes.
Yeah. I'm impressed with what you've gone through, what you told me about you went through as a youth to the adult that you are. This has been very enjoyable talking to you, and I've learned a lot of things. You've got an interesting perspective. I appreciate that.
Yeah, man, I don't have no problem sitting down talking, man, talking about what I've been through or anything, man. It's life.
You made it.
Yeah, I just want to bring my son in, man, and have a sit down with you.
That'd be interesting. We'll have to set that up. And that his brand is Swag for Prez, right? Swagforprez.com.
Yep, swagforprez.com. You can find him on Instagram, TikTok. I forgot what his TikTok name is. Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, SWAGG, the number four. Not the spelling of the number four, but the number four, and PRES. And he has about 2,000 followers on Facebook, 5,000 on Instagram.
Nice.
I don't know how many on TikTok. And then YouTube, we got like 300 some subscribers. But I just do the YouTube just so if he does make it, you don't got to scramble to find anything on him. You can just go to YouTube and find whatever you want there.
And did you say earlier that it's all his games that you've got on?
Yeah, I got YouTube? All his games. I done broke them down already, and they're all there.
Okay.
Yeah. Because, see, his games are now broadcasted on Alabama Georgia Live. So Alabama Georgia Live will broadcast all the home games for Glenwood, okay, which we go to school at. So once they broadcast the games, I just go in and break them down, and I post them on his YouTube page. And I think his YouTube page goes back to at least 3 years. Some small interviews up there, him playing outside basketball, him training with me, you know, pretty much anything that can make, you know, this kid. Okay. Some of his brands, some of his merchandise is up there, so you just take a look at. So, and I tell people, even if you see something you want, you don't have to go to the website. You can write directly through social media. Hey, I want this. Hey, I want that. Because if you, Instagram comes to my phone and his phone. Facebook comes to my phone and his phone. TikTok comes to my phone and his phone. You can pretty much place your order through any one of the three.
Okay. Good deal.
Now, my turnaround used to be 14 days. Now it's more of 21. Because my print guy has become a firefighter, so he does it in his spare time. But I don't require my people to pay up front. So now by you not paying up front, you ain't worried, saying, hey, this guy done took $65 from me and I ain't heard from him in 2 months. You done placed the order. You just got to bear with me, man. Everything handable fits right now. Some things out the trunk. Right. But I'm going to get to you. Like, I just got my orders together from Father's Day. I just caught up with my orders from Father's Day.
That's a good problem to have, huh?
Man, I'm so far behind. I think I'm... In my cart is about 24 pieces. In one box is 34 pieces at the print shop. Another box is about 38 pieces at the print shop. And then the phone is probably 15 pieces. But the goal is to have everything done by the first basketball game, which is November the 15th.
Okay.
So once we get everything done by November the 15th, we on track. And I take a lot of, during the off season, I give away a lot of free stuff. So if I give you this shirt right now, and you go in your closet on the 14th, oh, this kid got a game tomorrow.
I see.
I'm finna go to watch that kid. Let me call his dad. I'm finna go to that kid game. So I give away a lot of stuff. Like I told him, this is an investment.
Yeah.
Just long, give it away.
Long term. Well, you're thinking long term.
Yeah, I have no problem. All right, now I got stuff in the closet. I'm gonna give it away. student section, give it away. Think about his school is K through 12. I tell him, get out there and talk to them babies. If that baby say, Mom, I want me a Swag for Prayer shirt, guess what Mama gonna do? She gonna get her baby a Swag for Prayer shirt.
That's true.
Get out there and talk to them babies, man. Keep your grades up. Stay mountable, stay respectable, stay humble. Yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. People are more likely to support you, especially when they know where your money going.
Yep, that's true. Mm-hmm. Do you ship your merchandise?
Man, I have a in my phone, we don't ship to 42 of the 50 states, including China, Japan, Australia, Hawaii is a state, Alaska is a state. We don't ship everywhere.
Nice.
I just got a couple states I got to cover. Still got it. I'm going to cover those states, and we'll have all 50 states covered.
Very nice. Very nice. All right. Well, man, we'll put a pin in it right there. Thank you very much for coming out this evening. Hopefully it's not storming outside.
Right.
We couldn't hear it if it is, but hopefully we're not going to run into a deluge. But thanks again, man. We'll have to do this again
anytime, man. You just let me know when you're ready.
Okay. Will do. All right, man. Thanks. Bye, y'all.